Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I knew driving into work this morning, it seemed to take me longer than normal. I didn't realize, Kim, where I was.
Well, I apparently drove to Des Moines, Iowa. Let me just tell you what happened. So I'm saying the headline, and it's not like I write down that part, you know, I'm just talking.
Yes.
And so Ethan's looking at me and smiling as I'm saying it, but it was one of those things where I didn't realize what I'd said.
I just
knew I'd said something weird because he gave me this look, just like a smile. We get off the air. He's like, Kim, you just said downtown Des Moines. I did?
Wow.
It happens.
Oops.
It happens. Oops.
Whoopsies. We are in downtown St. Louis. Last time I checked, my brain is apparently elsewhere.
You know who won't be in downtown St. Louis for much longer is News Channel 5. Oh, man. Happens to all of us, Kim. Don't worry about it. That's all right. It really is. It's funny, though. It's funny. It's easy to do. You did work there at some point in the past,
like
right?
12 years ago.
I know.
Something like that. You're right. I did work there.
So it's just like a brain flatulence or something.
Yeah, that's kind of took over. A brain flatulence. I like
that. That's exactly what it is. anyway, no big deal. We've got Dave Murray coming up here before long, bottom of the hour, to kind of straighten out exactly how bad the weather would be, and we can ask him to contrast the difference between the snow here and in Iowa, if you'd like.
I would like that.
That'd be all right.
That'd be nice.
I'm just teasing. Anyway, I asked Dave yesterday. I shouldn't say I asked Dave. Tricia asked Dave Murray yesterday to join us so we could kind of get the straight scoop from him. The weather you hear here, you know, most mornings, Dave sends to us, he records it and he sends it to us the night before. So we're going to get your first fresh forecast from Dave Murray for this big snow that's coming, if it's big. I mean, they all the local meteorologists seem to agree that it's going to be significant in some form, whether it's snow or ice or whatever, starting sometime Saturday night. I'm sure the people out at the ski resort in Eureka are very happy. And maybe not for the ice, but certainly for the snow, because they were able to open a little earlier than normal this year. But anyway, Dave's joining us at bottom of the hour with the very latest on whatever's going to happen on Saturday and Sunday, and you know where the line is between the snow and the ice and all that good stuff. So we're glad that you're with us this morning. We were talking earlier about the Channel 5 leaving. We'll get to a little more on that as well. Because that's kind of a big gut punch to the mayor in St. Louis, I would think. I mean, Channel 2 left years ago to go to Maryland Heights, basically, out there off Page in near Westport. And Channel 4 left last year. Now Channel 5 is leaving at least downtown. Now, they're not leaving the city. They won't say where they're going. But wherever they're going is going to have secure parking for the people that work there. And I have to wonder if maybe something didn't happen to one of their employees that we don't know about. It almost makes me wonder. I know there have been car break-ins and all that stuff, but they have to park a block or two from the station and walk over there at all hours because a newsroom's a 24-hour operation.
Well, in the article that KSDK posted about this move, it talks about how it's close to several downtown shootings last year. At least six people were shot, one fatally after a fight. It was a shooting on June 23rd at 10th and Market. It says near the entry to the KSDK building. A few weeks later, gunfire following a July 4th celebration injured several and left several downtown buildings punctured by bullet holes. I guess it wasn't, including Peabody Plaza, just two blocks east of KSDK. So yeah, KSDK itself wasn't impacted, but it's one of those things where it's a little bit too close for comfort.
Yep, seems to be the situation, but if, you know, it'll be interesting to find out if we can get anybody over there to admit where they're going. I still know a few people that work over there. We'll have to find out, see if we can figure it out. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Dave. We'll talk to Jared Halpern for the latest, his take on the situation with the House today, because they get into session here in the next couple of hours and are going to vote on a new speaker. We got that coming up for you. But first, I want us to get to our top stories this morning. Please, Ethan.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You can pull all my fingernails out. You can shove bamboo up in them. You can start cutting off my fingers. I am not voting for Mike Johnson.
You heard that, didn't you? That is Tom Massey. He said he is not voting for Johnson for speaker today. We'll find out how that goes a little later.
Does he have the votes?
I think so. I mean, obviously, Thomas Massey's indicated he's not going to support Mike, but Mike's a good man, a man of character, a man of integrity. What I said this when I seconded his nomination in front of the conference, I said, you know, hard work doesn't guarantee success, but it sure improves your chances.
Yep, that's Jim Jordan. He actually ran against Massey when he was last up for speaker. He seems to think things will go Mike Johnson's way today.
Yellow archers, where did they come from?
Actually, we have them. I didn't know about them, but we have them. And so we have been able now to put them out.
That's the police chief in New Orleans. Did not know that they had ways to block off streets, interestingly. I don't know if she's just that removed from day-to-day operations in New Orleans or what, but it was a surprise to her.
Elizabeth L. Cheney, for putting the American people over party.
You know who's not putting the American people over party? Joe Biden, for nominating Liz Cheney for this award. And my goodness, the Presidential Citizens
Dependable
Medal.
Traffic on 97.1
Wow. I'm a little surprised that the Biden administration was so bold with that. I'm also a little surprised that Cheney would even have the intestinal fortitude to show up to get that award, because it may be the last award she gets in her lifetime, I would think.
Unless he awards her with a pardon.
A preemptive pardon?
Right.
I guess that could happen.
He still could. On his last day, he could do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's... You think she's had those conversations?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, honestly, she should be worried with this talk about, you know, dabbling with people who are going to be witnesses to the committee and all of that. Byron Donalds, his name was escaping me there for a minute. Byron Donalds had this to say this morning about Cheney getting this award. Listen.
My reaction is I'm highly offended, but I'm not surprised. Joe Biden and his White House have lived in the bizarro land where no other Americans really exist. That's why the presidency under Joe Biden has been an abject disaster. This is just one of the last pieces of icing on that cake. Look, everybody knows that the fake January 6th committee, the only purpose was to basically put a lot of propaganda out into the information stream to go after and attack Donald Trump. It failed, completely backfired. They suppressed information. They tampered with evidence. There's reports out there that they were actually tampering with witnesses sitting in front of that committee, something that has frankly never happened in the halls of Congress, happened with this J6 committee. So for them to be rewarded for, frankly, the lack of transparency and honesty they gave to the American people is disgusting. But why are we surprised? This is the presidency of Joe Biden, the very worst presidency in the history of our country.
Wow. As only Byron Donalds can say it.
And yet Nancy Pelosi thinks that Joe Biden's one of the greatest presidents of all times, that he deserves a spot on Mount Rushmore.
Now, that's a good reason for term limits, like we were talking about earlier, right there, Nancy Pelosi. All right. Coming up, a quick report from Jared Halpern on his math for that speaker vote later today and the importance of it, given that we only have 3 days until votes are certified on the 6th of January. We'll get the latest on that. And then we'll talk to Dave Murray, chief meteorologist, at about 8:35. Stay tuned.
Out of Massey, I think nobody else is a hard no. And so they have issues that they need to work out with the speaker. Look, this is bigger than all of us. We need we have an agenda that we need to move forward, very aggressive agenda that the Trump administration wants us to pursue. None of that can happen until we have a speaker. We need to unite and get behind Mike Johnson and get to work for America.
So the new rule that's blasted, does he have the votes?
I think so. I mean, obviously, Thomas Massie's indicated he's not going to support Mike, but Mike's a good man, a man of character, a man of integrity. What I said this when I seconded his nomination in front of the conference, I said, you know, hard work doesn't guarantee success, but it sure improves your chances. And Mike Johnson has worked his tail off as our speaker. I hope he gets reelected today. I think he will.
Jim Jordan there, just a little while ago, he was on Fox and Friends this morning. I saw him on there with Brian Kilmeade, and you know they're expressing confidence in this vote that they think Johnson's going to win. He can only lose one vote. As you heard Massie say earlier, they could pull my fingernails out, it won't matter. I'm not voting for him. So we know they've lost at least one. So that's kind of the big thing going on up in Washington, D.C. today, where Jared Halpern for Fox News Radio covering that among many other stories, I'm sure. Jared, how are you?
Yeah, I love it. The opening day of Congress. And for the second time in you know, Congress back-to-back here, we're having a really narrow House vote. If Speaker Johnson is not elected on the first ballot, it'll be the first time in, like, before the Civil War, I think, that we've had two consecutive Congresses with multiple ballots for a Speaker of the House. So, you know, it's a little bit more entertaining than it has been, I guess, in centuries past.
It's true. I talked to Eric Burleson, the congressman from Missouri, yeah, this morning on the air about an hour ago, and you know he empathizes with Massie, with Chip Roy, with Nancy Mace, mm-hmm, some of the others, but he said he is planning to vote because he believes in his heart that Johnson's going to participate in what Donald Trump's agenda is, and for that reason he's earned his support.
I think that's the biggest thing that Johnson has going for him is, one, we've seen now, even this morning, the president-elect again urge Republicans to vote for Johnson, if for no other reason then they don't have the luxury of time here, right? Yes. If they have this 100-day agenda and they want to start moving forward, you have to do that. And you can't get embroiled in the speakership fights that divide the party and divide the conference. And they want to be able to show the American people from day one that they are a governing party, that they are a governing coalition. And if it takes you 5 days, like it did 2 years ago, to pick a Speaker of the House, that doesn't sort of exude the confidence that President Trump would like. And so I do think that what you will have seen in the last, especially 72 hours, is that argument really starting to take hold. You saw yesterday Marjorie Taylor Greene, who a few months ago tried to oust Speaker Johnson, mm-hmm, say that she will vote for Johnson today again, not because she's in love with Johnson necessarily, but because this is what President Trump has asked of them, that they have an agenda and they need to move forward with it. And so when you start seeing folks like that kind of get on board, I think that makes the math easier. That being said, with Massie and his fingernail threat out there, there is zero margin for error. Not a single other Republican, assuming all Democrats are present, can vote for somebody other than Mike Johnson. That is a smaller margin than even McCarthy had 2 years ago when it took 15 ballots over 5 days. The other thing that I think is lingering over this is if they go 15 ballots over 5 days, that takes them beyond Monday, January 6th. What's supposed to happen on January 6th? A joint session of Congress is supposed to certify the Electoral College. They cannot meet in joint session of Congress if the House of Representatives does not have a Speaker of the House.
Interesting.
How big of a difference do you think it'll make on what we'll see from Mike Johnson, assuming that he wins the vote, now that Trump's going to be in office and that they're going to have control of the House? Because, I don't know, was it Eric Burleson, Mark, who was talking about how he feels like a lot of the influence he feels like was coming from who was in the office, you know, the Oval Office, which of course is Biden, and what he would be willing to sign?
Yeah, listen, that's still going to be recall, this is still a very, very slim margin for Republicans. Those margins don't get easier just because they agree on a Speaker of the House. And when you start talking about taxing and spending and immigration and border enforcement, these are things that don't necessarily cut cleanly across party lines, right? I mean, geez, just a couple of weeks ago, we saw 38 House Republicans vote against that a debt limit hike that the president-elect urged them to vote for. So these are still, it is still going to be very challenging for Mike Johnson or whomever is Speaker of the House to try and have everybody marching to the same drummer, assuming, again, that there's not an awful lot of buy-in, if any, from Democrats. And that being said, some of these issues, maybe there is buy-in from Democrats, right? You could certainly see on maybe an immigration, if it's, you know, it includes DACA and Dreamers and border wall funding, it's kind of more comprehensive. Maybe that is more bipartisan. But the tax bill is agenda number one, we've been told. And that was like pulling teeth, if you recall, the first Trump term. And again, with a larger House Republican majority than they currently have.
Well, I got a little less than a minute left here, Jared. I appreciate you being flexible. I know one of the stories you were talking about today was Liz Cheney. I did not have her on my bingo card.
Well, she was at the White House yesterday. President Biden awarded her, along with 19 other Americans, what is called the Presidential Citizens Medal. It is kind of the second highest honor that a president can bestow on a civilian, so a non-military honor. And it was certainly for her work on the January 6th committee. Benny Thompson, who also led that committee, also got the award. And those two, when they were introduced, I think got the largest applause from the attendees. It's another kind of just show of the president kind of leaning into what he says is the importance of putting country above party.
Yep. Jared Halpern, thanks for your report as always.
Sure thing. Appreciate
it. All right, take care of yourself. Good. Yeah, he's in.
I thought he was going to say maybe booed, but obviously people who would be at the White House would love her.
No, we'll be back with Dave Murray after this.
Air Comfort Service, heating, cooling, and insulation. Weather.
Chief Meteorologist Dave Murray.
I can't say it any better than that. We've got the man on the phone this morning. Dave Murray, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. You know, fortunately for us, I've got Kim St. Ange working in here with me now. She was a reporter at Channel 4. She's already volunteered to go to the Tam Avenue overpass Monday morning.
No, Dave, don't listen to him.
Oh, no. That's a St. Louis tradition. You have to be there.
I've done that.
There.
I've paid my dues.
She's trying to avoid that, Dave.
I can't imagine anybody in St. Louis television who hasn't been on that bridge. We're looking for it.
Man, it's the truth. It is absolutely the truth. So I ask Tricia to reach out to you because obviously there's a lot of forecasting going on right now. And when I heard somebody talking about this yesterday, the front in question hadn't even made landfall in the U.S. yet. So what do you see?
It still hasn't. It still hasn't. And that is the key. The storm is still off the northwest coast. It makes landfall probably about 9 o'clock tonight, our time. And until that happens, there's a lot of variables. Okay. Once that happens, it comes over the Rockies, it gets sheared apart because of the tall mountain peaks, and then it reforms in the central plains. The exact location of that reform is critical, and because of that, the overall track across Missouri and Illinois is still fuzzy, and that's why you're going to hear a lot of variations in ideas. You're not going to get this thing nailed down until probably Saturday night, believe it or not.
Wow.
That's how fast this will kind of unravel. And a shift as little as 10 to 15 miles in that track thinking will make a big shift in how it produces weather across St. Louis.
Wow. All right. So that's a good tease.
You want the details?
Now I'm going to nail you down. What am I going to get in St. Charles?
Okay.
Mark, do you want to just give him your address and he can give you the exact forecast?
You can't believe how often that happens.
I'm sure. I'm sure it does.
All right. So let's break this down. I haven't changed a lot of my ideas yet because, again, the storm hasn't made landfall. But a winter storm watch in effect, 6 p.m. Saturday night until 6 a.m. Monday morning. The track of the storm is all that's important in this. We should start to see snow break out ahead of this system in warm air that's coming up from the south. That should happen a little bit after midnight on Saturday night and then mix with sleet and freezing rain. So we're going to see snow, sleet, freezing rain after midnight Saturday night, a mix of snow, sleet, freezing rain all day on Sunday throughout the day. There might be little gaps where it doesn't do much of anything, but it's around all day. A change to all snow on the backside of the storm as it lifts away. That would be late, late Sunday afternoon until about midnight on Sunday night. And then the storm pulls away rather quickly Monday morning, but its effects will be all over us. There's a fine line between all snow, a mix of snow, sleet, freezing rain, and then just all ice. Right now, I think we're in the middle of it, which is tradition here in St. Louis.
Yep.
So we've got that mix of moisture. And then I'm going to go with somewhere by midnight Sunday night. So this would be as the storm is winding down. We should see about 5 inches of snow and ice here in the St. Louis area. The more ice we get, the less snow, obviously, we're going to see. South of St. Louis, let's think of DeSoto, Sparta, Mount Vernon line. It's mainly sleet and freezing rain. There's some real ice concerns there. North of St. Louis, think Columbia, Ellsbury, Carlinville line, all snow. And there's some sleet could mix in, but it's mainly all snow the way I see it right now. Could see about 10 inches of snow.
Wow.
Again, this thing is not cast in stone yet. If anybody says it is, they're lying to you.
Oh, I know. I've been warning people. I'm like, we're going to try to nail Dave down on this. But if this thing hasn't even made landfall yet, I've heard you say right. that 1,000 times. We got to wait for it to get across the Rockies, right?
Right. Yeah. That if you don't follow those rules, any forecaster out there, any meteorologist doesn't follow those rules. Yeah, might as well just throw it in the trash.
But any model you're looking at right now doesn't have the immediate St. Louis metro getting upwards of 10, 12 inches of snow. We're
just
more
north.
We're more in like 5 or 6, right?
First, yeah, I like the 5 number right now as one number. One thing I do want to stress here, models are not forecasting.
Right.
They are guidance. I am not a model wonk. I do not trust models. Many more than I could throw them across the room. You have to make a forecast first, and then you go look at the models, not the other way around. And if you do it the other way around, you're going to die by the models.
Yeah, well, we've always appreciated that about you, Dave. That's why I wanted to get you on here this morning. So, you're thinking by Saturday night if people need to be, they're going to get a more accurate estimate of what's going on.
Yeah, I think as we go through Saturday afternoon, things will start to come in very clear, but it will be like a lot of these storm systems in St. Louis. They'll be fine-tuning even during the event. But if you have plans, I would say that Saturday evening is probably okay. But once you get past midnight Saturday night into Sunday morning, we're really living on borrowed time.
Yeah.
Sunday does not look like a very pretty day. And because there's a lot of cold air coming in behind this, I think Monday morning, depending on the road crews, and that's always a big dependable, is Monday morning could be a real mess in St. Louis.
Well, just to rub salt in the wound for us, where you are living, what's the temperature like?
Oh, it's chilly. It's chilly. It's about 51.
Oh wow. Okay.
I knew you were going to say something about I knew it'd be over 40 if you're saying chilly.
Oh, that's great.
One thing, you know, for folks who don't know, I'm in Laguna Beach, California now. I haven't been retired from TV now for over 6 years. But there's 4 seasons out here. There is winter here. And, we can get down into the mid-40s. That's chilly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a problem. Are you surprised, Dave, historically? I mean, are we getting our first big snowfall late, or is that just my perception of it?
No, I think, you know, a lot of us who have grown up in the St. Louis area, been in St. Louis for a long, long time, kind of remember snows in early December. But when you really look at the climatology, we want to get past Christmas. It's January, it's February, and into March where we see, whatever we're going to see, that's usually when we see it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of time this morning to kind of nail this thing a little bit down, and we won't hold you to it too much till we get to Saturday.
No, hold me to it. Just hold me to it.
Dave, have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Anytime.
Talk to you soon. Dave Murray there, chief meteorologist. I love Dave's always had that attitude, though. I don't look at the models. You got to do your forecast, do your work. It's pretty easy to just take the National Weather Forecast model and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure that happens far too often.
I'm sure it does. There you have it, though. Straight from the horse's mouth there, from Dave Murray. And he'll be tweaking that as we get closer. But Kim's already thinking about that warm cup of cocoa on Monday morning, and she's broadcasting from her house.
Sounds great.
Ethan and I'll be here. Nothing will be open, Ethan. I won't even be able to bring us any food. It'll all be locked down.
We'll have to find something.
Yeah, sure we will. Probably out of the vending machine, no doubt. All right, quick break here. We're going to be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Yeah, Kim, you said you watched a little bit of football yesterday. So you watched the Georgia. Did you watch any of the Georgia game?
No, I didn't watch any of the Sugar Bowl. I've been watching it New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
So Georgia player caught the ball, and he ran for like 67 yards down the sideline. And as he's running down through there, of course, he's on the Georgia sideline. He's running alongside the players who are all lined up, and you're not supposed to go past a certain point toward the field. And one of the guys on the team leaned over that line, like he stepped out closer than he should have to the field, and the referee, who was running along with the player to make sure he didn't run out of bounds, ran into the player for Georgia.
Oh.
He's some backup cornerback who's never played a down for the team. He's been redshirted all season or something like that. So they should have had the ball first and 10 on about the 11-yard line is how far the guy got before he got knocked out of bounds. Instead, they gave him a penalty for interfering with the referee and penalized him 15 yards.
Ouch.
And moved him back from the 11-yard line to like the 35 or whatever the penalty was, 25. And
because of what the other player did.
Because of what the player did, allowing the ref to run into him. He stepped out into the ref's way. Like there's a
white line. He shouldn't have done that.
Well, players do it all the time. Well, I mean, it's rare to see that happen. But this poor guy, they would have been almost first and goal. And instead, they were first and 10 on the 25 or 30-yard line, and they didn't score. They ended up scoring a field goal, and they were getting their butts handed to them. But that could have changed the momentum of the game after that big play. And that guy, somebody's saying he's not going to be able to return to the campus at the University of Georgia because of what he did yesterday.
Well, yeah, way to screw over your team.
Oh, my goodness.
But what team was it? Gosh, I'm forgetting which team it was that could not kick a field goal. The kicker must have missed two or three field
Texas
goals.
Guy.
And it was it Texas?
Yeah.
And it was seriously, they were not that far. Like the Mizzou guy, the freshman, he kicked a 56-yard field goal. That's fantastic. That's NFL. Like, that's even good for the NFL, right? But we're talking about, like, what, a 40, 43-yard touchdown?
Chip shots.
Not
35,
that far.
37 yards.
I mean, I know I can't kick it, but okay, you should be able to kick it, and you're roll guy kept missing.
This poor guy.
How irritating for that team.
This poor guy is a senior on the team, holds all kinds of records for Texas for kicking. He's been around a long time, and it must have just been nerves. I mean, I can't think of anything else. Like the ball bounced off the goalpost like twice on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how hard it would be to hit that little pole from 35 yards out if you were trying.
I know, it's actually impressive he hit it.
Like miss left, miss right, had the thing go down the middle, but the odds of hitting that pole twice, I felt so bad for him. Now, they ended up winning anyway. I saw a story this morning that Arizona State is appealing or suing or something because of the targeting call at some point that might have cost them I guess they think it cost them a score, because when you go into overtime, the rules are really weird these days in college football. Each team, you flip to see who gets the ball first. The winning team usually goes on defense first to find out what they're going to need to do. First team scores a field goal. The other team has to score at least a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the overtime, if they score a touchdown, they have to go for 2 points. They can't just go for the kick. And Arizona State was alleging that this missed penalty cost him the game. Like, you can't cry for spilt milk. You can't go back and erase those things. It's not going to change. I personally like the fact.
Yeah, that just seems kind of silly to me.
I personally like the fact that they're doing the playoff. It just makes it more exciting. Like, the game is over, and you see Oregon, who's been undefeated, get beaten like a drum
crushed by
Ohio State, at which point Ohio State's going to claim, well, we're the best team in the country because we just beat the number one team. But now they're going to have to play somebody else in order to claim that. And I think this is fantastic that it's just been more exciting.
The NFL probably hates it. I've actually enjoyed the games a lot.
Yeah. it gives us something to watch these days besides basketball. Speaking of which, weren't you reminded earlier by our friend Lauren on Facebook about what Illinois did yesterday? What was that, Kim? Would you like to remind us?
Oh, I already forget. They did something. They had a really good game yesterday.
He messaged me earlier because they had the big win yesterday in basketball. I think it was in basketball.
Was it Oregon? No.
Who do they beat? Now I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry, Lauren. I had that in my brain, and then it went away, as things tend to do. Here we go. A 32-point win over the number 9 team in the country. They won 109-77. So
it was Oregon.
Yeah, it was Oregon. Okay. They beat him 109-77. So he's very proud of that.
Not to change topics, but we have someone on Facebook, let me scroll back to it, who was talking about how a president can pardon someone that's not been charged with a crime. And they're asking you to explain that.
Well, it's just a blanket pardon for anything you might have done
preemptive
wrong,
pardon.
I guess, like preemptive pardon.
Right.
It's weird. I don't know.
It's kind of like Hunter. I know it's different in the sense that he'd been charged with a crime, but the way that it was structured was essentially anything that he may have done between this 11-year span. So it was kind of a pardon of what he was charged with and convicted of, but it also was a preemptive pardon, if you will. It seems like it to me, at least, for anything else he may have done.
He could just say that Liz Cheney is preemptively pardoned for anything she did while serving as a member of Congress or something like that. I mean, would that get her off? I don't know.
I mean, this will be interesting to see if he tries to pull this on his last day. I think he still has a couple things up his sleeve.
What he's doing is just further tarnishing his image. He should just
He doesn't care anymore.
Into that night.
He was
night.
Screwed over by his own party.
He does. He's a little angry about that.
He's an angry elf.
He's an angry little elf. And
call
I think
me
Dr.
Elf one
I
more time.
Dr. Jill Biden is angrier than he is.
Oh yeah.
I've read several stories written about the fact that she hates Kamala Harris, and her hatred of her goes all the way back to 2019 when she embarrassed Joe in that debate for the Democrats. Somebody gave me a roll of Kamala toilet paper. It was sitting on my desk when I came in this morning. I'm guessing it came from Ryan Wiggins, but I don't know for sure. But isn't that fantastic?
How weird would you feel actually using that?
I actually pretty good. I might have to unwrap
really?
It and try it.
I would feel
I've got
way
a roll of
that.
I've got a roll of Hillary Clinton toilet paper somewhere from 2016. I'll just have to match them up. All right. Hey, have a great weekend. We will see you Monday morning, rain or ice or whatever comes. We'll be here. Have a great weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.